But that was like with regard to music that would maintain that it broke a lot of people's hearts and that like basically you didn't say sorry. Is that a good thing?
I never felt sorry. So why would I be saying sorry?
I mean, maybe your fans never wanted it any other way.
It doesn't look as if
they might.
It doesn't look as if they do, really.
Yeah.
So why on earth I'd be sorry, I really don't know.
Okay, I mean, I am going to throw not one of your own quotes, but somebody did say that your favourite pose is to affect the certainty of the doomed. Is that a little, come on, you know? Like, do you have a laugh?
All the time. I mean, it's never unfunny, really. So those kind of things are part of the laugh. They're quite amusing when people say things like that. But what they're talking about, let it be.
Okay, but what would be your main instinct towards fellow humans? A lot of people would want to interact and check out. Would you have basic mistrust?
Yeah, I'm very cautious. It takes me a very long time with people. A very long time. And I think it's safest to mistrust people, really. Then the disappointment a few days later is somewhat softened.
Right. Because after the Smiths, I mean, in the 90s, you have written all about life and it's, you know, trivialities, its complexity, the same as what you did before in some ways.
Yes.
Is that just it? You're like, that's your art, you want to reflect yourself and who you are
and
your own
so.
Surroundings.
I think so, because I find it interesting.
Okay, I mentioned a defensive weapon earlier on. Is humour a defensive weapon?
Yes, absolutely. Humour is a weapon, completely a weapon. And, thank God.
Okay, you did once say, and I'll stop with this one, that your greatest weakness, was your insociability?
It was when we last met, which was about 17 years ago.
Right.
So it's not like that now. I've blossomed and bloomed.
But would that have been one of the reasons, your unsociability, be one of the reasons why you would have liked Johnny Marr? Because a lot of people kind of, you know, they stuck to Johnny.
Well,
they liked him, and you liked that too.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody stuck to him for the reasons I did. It was a completely unique relationship. I thought his music combined sorrow and happiness. I thought it was very, very sad music. Even the jovial tunes that he produced, I thought had a tinge of terrible sadness. And he appears on the surface to be very humorous and very, very happy. But in the music, I hear sort of pangs of sadness, and that really drew me to his music. And I don't think anybody really views it that way. I think they just think it's jingly jangly and it's perky. But
what did you used to do? Did you have lyrics and say, Johnny, you put some guitar in that?
No, never, never. He simply gave me the music, and then I began to hum, and then suddenly I'm saying the words.
And do you have to do both jobs now?
No. It's still pretty much the same. Still pretty much the same. But not with Johnny.
No, indeed.
You've noticed.
You say that wistfully, or...
Oh, I just say it, you know. It just rolls off the tongue.
Do you find it difficult to understand why so many people go through life alone?
No, I think everybody's alone. They just don't know it, or they won't admit it. Everybody's alone. They have to be. We come in by ourselves. We go by ourselves.
But then what I mean, Billy, is that you find it a privilege to actually live alone and so not have the burdens of having to feel you have to have somebody with you.
Yeah, I do. I do find it a privilege. I feel I have a very privileged life now because I can live alone and I don't have to put up with anything, which is extraordinary. Because I think lots of people are trapped in relationships and so forth.
Well, I mentioned earlier, self-possessed. Can I say self-possessed and proud of it?
Can you?
Yeah, I mean, would it go that far?
For yourself?
No, no, for you.
You're very free to say it for yourself. I won't argue. I don't feel sad. I really don't. I absolutely swear I don't feel sad. I mean, people say, lots of people think I'm miserable and I don't have a sense of humour, but when people say that, what they really mean is you don't have their sense of humour.
Mm.
So, my philosophy is, sod them.
Got it. When you used to read all these magazines as a teenager and take in every single thing in the enemy that was read and you'd write to them giving out about inaccuracies and all that stuff, when they started doing this with you and they're like 10 pages a week every bloody week for 5 years.
Yes.
How did you feel? Like, I mean, when they started going on about you, like, nobody embodies the spirit of 80s alienation like Morrissey does and that. It's just like, yeah, they've got it in one. Or, wait a minute. Did you realise that then suddenly a lot of this writing might be a bit silly? Or?
Well, unfortunately, when you do read wonderful things about yourself, you do want to believe some of it, to be truthful. But are we ever objective about ourselves? I don't know. It's just, I don't collect any printed matter now. Anything written about me, I don't collect it. But certainly early on, it's fascinating to be dissected, because this is really all you ever wanted. And there it happens. And it's fascinating, because I began to buy the music press in 1969. And I would never miss. And if I'd go on holiday, I'd order everything, so that when I returned 6 weeks later, there was 75 magazines waiting for me. And I was more than a typical pop kid. I was just dangerously obsessed with all that. And given the alternatives in life, it's not been so bad.
And when they did write about you, did they get it right?
No. No, never.
Were they even interesting?
Yes. Yes, they were, because so many of the statements are so outlandish that that becomes interesting. But I don't think they ever get it right. Ever. And even recently, I'm described as overweight, and they live in a world of their own. Absolutely.
Yeah. In a generalized way about your own writing and the songs that you write, you kind of get the intensity of a feeling, but at the same time you convey this kind of irony within that intensity of a feeling, if you like. Is that, yeah, that's pretty good. Like, people know exactly, the Morrissey fans know exactly what I'm talking about here.
Yes.
But, like, is that the way it is?
It is the way it is, and it's just really having the nerve or the guts to laugh at your own situation and your own shortcomings and admitting at least that they're there. You know, because lots of people don't.
Yeah, you did a gig recently where you played a song on stage, Late Night Maudlin Street,
yeah.
And you dedicated it, or you mentioned Catherine Cartledge,
who
died recently.
Yes.
Career Girls, etc.
Yes.
Was she an English actress you thought maybe had an awful great future in her?
I think there was no doubt that she would have.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely shocked by her death. She was 41. Mm. I thought she had a great screen presence, and one of the very few modern British actors who I thought really had it. And just terribly sad, terribly sad. But life is very weird.
And do you look to the cinema, do you look to acting the same way as I would suggest that you might, because of the covers of Smith's covers and all the rest of it?
I always have. And I've always watched films with the sound down and listened to music at the same time, and been very enhanced by, very entranced by just the moving image. But yes, always film from a very early age. But again, it's very difficult to talk about because I was always so critical. So, but yes.
Is there a comfort zone, Morrissey, that you like to kind of maybe get to with a lot of things? Like, comfortable is a word you've used a lot. Like, you're not comfortable flying. The greatest comfort is solitude, you said. You're not comfortable being seen as weird, that's fine by you. Is there a certain thing about a level of where you want to be and comfort is how you describe it?
Well, yes, it's the point whereby you can look after yourself because you understand yourself. And does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yes,
yeah.
And it must just be one of those old hoary, with a H, age things, whereby you simply understand yourself. And at the same time, when you reach that point, you realize that you're not so bad after all.
Do you feel that the best of your songs will never date? I mean, I look back on a lot of programs of I Love the 1980s or whatever. Mm. It's astonishing just how dreadful so much of it is. I'm quite proud of the fact that I often said an awful lot of the stuff that's dreadful. Like, when you were starting out, you were coming in towards the tail end of, say, New Romantics and all that kind of stuff. And, like, to a song, it was just awful. Well, 95% of it was, anyway. Mm. And a lot of your songs, they have a serious test of time about them. Like, they will stand it.
Yes.
And you know this, don't you?
I know this because that they are songs. And the back catalogue sells very well.
Yeah.
And has never stopped selling very, very well. And it's because they are real songs.
And those songs now mean an awful lot to you, maybe more than you buried them a little bit in the early 90s, a little bit.
Well,
you felt you had to.
Well, what could I really have done? I mean, yeah. Could I have just ran around singing all of them at the same time? Not really. No, they've never left me. They've never left me at all. I think they're very powerful, and I think they're here to stay, and nothing to do with trend, and nothing to do with hype, and nothing to do with some executive pushing them in the public's face.
Yeah.
I think it's just down to, it has always been up to, left simply to people to discover and like or dislike the songs. Nobody's ever been steamrolled into accepting me or the Smiths. It's always been word of mouth and just, which is the best way.
Sure, but one of the things that was good about what you did in the 90s was you had a solo career that was barreling along quite nicely and everything was going fine. Mm. And then the Smiths thing raised its ugly head again in terms of court cases, etc.,
yes.
Which are still going on.
Yes.
Do you ever want to just bury it?
It's never up to me because I didn't initiate the court case. So I'm always just defending myself. And the person who is constantly on the attack, which is the Smiths drummer, doesn't stop. It's his career, it's his lifestyle to squeeze as much money from the memory of the Smiths as possible. So he just attacks me every day. And even at the Royal Albert Hall last week, he was sending all his little lawyers out to stand at the stage door and try and get the money that we earned at the Royal Albert Hall and just issue all these writs. Of course, he fails all the time, but he doesn't stop. And there's been a few television programs about the Smiths, and he's always there talking about me all the time. It's pathetic.
So has your faith in human nature been sort of more damaged by what's happened in court?
Not really, because I think I didn't really have much faith in human nature. So it was simply verifying everything that I had secretly assumed to be true.
Okay, but see, Marcy, you didn't want the Smiths to break up, but you didn't argue, you didn't cry, you didn't plead with Johnny when he decided to suddenly leave, and you were shocked just. That was the only real emotion
yes,
to show.
Yeah.
Was there any... Looking back, could you have argued?
No. And I would never plead with anybody for anything. So, no.
Well then, what I'm trying to find out is, like, where's his position in the whole Smiths, that court case debacle now at the moment?
Well, first of all, I think he benefited from the Smiths breaking up because his profile became higher and people suddenly wanted to talk to him and ask him about it. So, in one way, what he did helped him. As far as the court case, he, in very basic principle, supported me. But when he was in the, when he's being cross-examined, he didn't. And the feeling from his legal representatives was, well, maybe we can blame Morrissey entirely on this case, and maybe this judge will deem Morrissey the one who is completely responsible and not Morrissey Marr. So Morrissey will have to pay all this money. So he deserted me, which...
Yeah, I was just going to say
not
that.
For the first
has
time.
Has he ever rung up at the solo albums and says, well done, that's pretty good, or that's crap, or...
Never once, no. Never, ever once, no.
So you're really going to be on your own if those two guys are out there and Johnny... I don't think Johnny would be a good referee, if nothing else.
No. He doesn't support me at all, unfortunately.
And when, like, the law, like, do you think it's possible to get justice with the way the legal system is in Britain these days?
I only have experience of that court case, and the judge was completely wayward. And Joyce walked into the courtroom with no evidence at all of his claim. I mean, his claim should never have made the High Court.
Which is that I should get 25% of the Smiths' life.
Yes. Which is a claim that he didn't bring until the Smiths were well and truly broken up.
But there was no contract.
There was no contract, but he had always received 10%, and which was very generous.
Yeah.
He always knew he was receiving 10%. He accepted it. He was always happy. And throughout the Smiths' existence, he never raised any objection. So by his actions, that is a contract.
It's terrible sad, isn't it?
Well, people are just obsessed with money, and Joyce has no career, so he just lives off me.
But, I mean, how much was motivated by revenge, or was it the 90% money?
I think it's all about money, nothing else.
Johnny left, Mike destroyed the Smiths, and then Andy still trying to remember his own name was a phrase that was used, kind of thing. Is that all? I mean, like, you once said that they could be replaced in the same way as you could replace parts of a lawnmower. And let's be honest, that there's a point to that. It's the Paul Weller jam thing again. I mean, you're allowed to say that, you know?
Well, you know, I never actually said that.
Oh.
But the QC who cross-examined me in the court, he made that statement, and it was his view that I would feel that they could be replaced like bits of a lawnmower. But the way he said it in the court and the way it was accepted in the court statements was that it was from me, but it wasn't from me at all. But I'm not saying I disagree with it.
Right, yeah. But I mean, the point I'm trying to get to here, otherwise, is like, you know, you did it all. You did all the press, the promotions, you got the covers together, you wrote the damn stuff, you were the man, you were the pressure, and... You know, it's bad form, to say the very least, what's going on.
Well, it is.
And that's why I can understand your obsession sometimes, and I will call it an obsession. You're going to the European Court of Human Rights with this.
Yes. But you see, it's very difficult when you stand up in a court and you tell the truth and a judge says you're lying. That's very, very difficult to live with. And when Joyce stands up and he lies and the judge says you're telling the truth.
Right.
I mean, that's absurd. And you would think that a judge would be intelligent enough to be able to judge. But this judge was obviously very wayward, and he wanted to do something outrageous and give an outrageous verdict, which he did.
Morrissey is anarchic. He's a free spirit. He's talented kind of in a field where these guys know nothing about. Mm. They, more than these two ex-Smiths people, were out to get you.
Yes.
Yeah. Not really the bottom line.
Well, it's the bottom line, and the only way they can get me is financially. They can't do anything else to me. And it's all the spite of how dare you go on and leave us behind. And even there was a massive witness evidence, written evidence against Joyce, a massive evidence which the judge just went, which is illegal, really. But there's no way you can get a judge. A judge can say the Queen of England is African. And all these appeal judges will say, well, yes, of course she's African. It's absurd to think she's anything else. It's an incredible system. And all these judges are incredibly old. They're all white. They're all male. They all know nothing about real life as you and I may know about it. And they're incredibly blinkered. And they live in a world of their own. They're answerable only to God, and they're untouchable by any... There's no sort of complaints commission that will check a judge. Nothing at all. So a judge can say whatever he or she likes, and they can do whatever they like. And there's many instances in British criminal history where judges make atrocious decisions and allow killers to go out and kill again. But the judges are never reprimanded in any way. And there are a couple of complaints commissions in England, like the Lord Chancellor and the Bar Council, who accept and are supposed to deal with complaints against judges, but they don't. They just accept all, they just gather all your evidence and your information, then they reply and they reject your case without saying why. So it's an absolute shambles.
I'm still just surprised that Johnny hasn't rung you about all of this or talked to you about all of this. I'm just...
Never. Which, even that fact alone, that we had never discussed it before the court case, is practically illegal, really, in England, because if you have a conflict of opinion,
yeah,
and you're both supposedly defending a case, it shouldn't happen. But this judge just brushed everything aside and said, Joyce is equal to Morrissey in every way. And even when Joyce stood up and said something nice about me in the court, the judge completely twisted it and made it negative. And so the judge was completely corrupt. Good
time. You know, around the same time that this broke, you were touring with David Bowie, and you called off the gigs with 20 minutes to go before you went on stage. Was that a personal thing, or wasn't it? It wasn't that you're playing one of your heroes, and he turned out to be a pain in the neck.
Well, not really. I mean, he was very odd to me, and he asked me to sing a few of his songs in my set, which I thought was wrong. And then after a few nights, he asked to join me during my set, which I thought was wrong. And I said, I can't do this. And then he would ask me if he could come on at the end, and he would appear and I would disappear. So there would be no end and there would be no encore for me.
And this wasn't worked out well before the tour?
Not at all.
This was during the tour as a change.
Yes. And so therefore, when we played in Dublin and I had gone off and he came on, and a lot of the crowd was still calling my name.
Right.
And he was doing his set, and he said, don't worry, Morrissey, we'll be back later. But I was 100 miles down the road. I just thought it was just a bit show-busy, and I thought, well, this is really David Showy, and I thought, no.
Sounds a bit like Once Bitten, Twice Shy. You won't really be doing that again too soon, will you?
Well, I'm sure he wouldn't ask me, but...
No, but that would mean with somebody else like that. It doesn't really...
There's only one or
sharing.
Two... There's only one or two people...
Right.
...that I could try it with.
Who would you like...
Well, mind you, I've never asked, so...
Who would you like to try it with?
No.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Who would I like to try it with? We'll skip that question.
Okay, we'll skip that question. Okay, listen, just one or two more little small things. Oasis had a backdrop of a British flag on their stage.
Yes.
The Spice Girls did the same thing.
Yes.
You did it before all that and you were called racist.
Yes.
Do you ever think they're out to get you?
Well, they simply were. I don't think anybody thought I was remotely racist. I mean, the Enemy put me on the cover and said, he is racist. But I think if the Enemy really believed I was racist, they wouldn't stick me on the cover. Because groups who really are racist, they don't receive any attention in the media. So, and I think it would be really irresponsible of the Enemy or anybody who believed I was racist to stick me all over the place saying he's racist. Because then I could capitalize upon it and get all these people together and do all these fascinating things. But I've never felt remotely racist. And I don't think people ever believed I was. But the editor at the Enemy at the time wants to get rid of me. And they find something. I never responded to them. So it went on and on and on and on. And they blew it up and they had to make it more. Because otherwise they would look very, very silly.
Mm.
And but I think eventually they did look silly. I think the Enemy in the 90s declined. They lost lots of readers. People no longer had any faith in the weekly press. And look at the weekly music press now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And the Enemy are struggling for their lives. Mind you, they have a new editor now and they have new writers. But in the 90s, it was the Enemy just killed itself.
Okay, well, finally, what about music that you've got now? I mean, what's this Latino? Is there some... Are you into that kind of music, big time?
Well, I've been in Los Angeles for 4 years now, and it's...
How's your neighbour, Johnny Depp?
Well, we just
hang.
Chat over the wall every day and...
You're putting up the washing.
Heg out. it's a hugely Hispanic community, and very interesting, very soothing, very nice people. The music is very passionate and high-spirited, and I like that. So that's just became an influence for me. But once again, most of the so-called Latino artists who make it big worldwide really have nothing to say. Same old story, really. You can only really get that far if it's all lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
And it's so basic that it's cringe. I mean, how many people do you know that can fill a stadium and say something really useful and stir you or start you? How many people do you know?
Well, there's a handful, I suppose, all right, Jay, maybe. But maybe only a handful.
How big is your hand, though? That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question. All right, okay. Morrissey, thanks a million for talking to us, and good luck on the road, and we look forward to album number 10.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. And there you go, the Morrissey.